Carnival World, Chapter 16. Ranger Kai, following a jittery sip of coffee, exclaimed, but barely above a whisper, "Hoorah!" Ranger Schmidt echoed with a barely audible, "Hoorah!"
"Wow!" exclaimed Bard. "That was definitely an Ephesians 6:12 moment."
"You can say that backwards," offered Ranger Kai, with a smile. His hands trembling, he drank another swig of hot, black coffee. At least the palindrome part. Gomez, avoiding Gordo, snapped several more still photos. He launched out with a quick jumble of Spanish.
"Big J said," Gomez asked, "what Kai said. I can tell him, Anselm, if you are too busy."
Anselm replied, "Gracias, Big J. I, amigo, am well able to ride a bike and eat an ice cream cone at the same time. I will continue to interpret for him and Jorge." Padre and Anselm, one with the teapot and the other with the coffee pot, made their rounds refilling cups. Kai dug in his pockets until he found the packets of cream and sugar that he had traded earlier with Gordo, and trembling, liberally poured the contents into his coffee and stirred them with a pen from his combat vest.
Big J said, "Amigos, I regret signing my NDA. I can't sign in to chat. When I get back and tell the group at Paranormal Roundtable about what just happened. My wife Carmen and I go on that show every week. My wife, she's a feisty little chihuahua, amigos. She says Josh knows more about cryptids and spiritual secrets than Hagrid of Hogwarts. Anyone else watch that show, Paranormal Roundtable, or Jeff the Dolny's Dogman and Paranormal Research Podcast?"
Bard responded, "Bishop St. Patrick sends videos from both of those sources. He sends them to me frequently, about once per month. There will be several teachings or videos on that USB. Steve Quayle, Stan Dale, William J. Schneblin, Chuck Misler, Timothy Alberino, L.A. Marzulli, Chief Joseph Riverwind, just to name a few. I view the materials on my office computer. He sent a really neat episode from that guy who does shows with Tony Merkel's Confessionals podcast. Just the other day, Joel Thomas, in his Good Nephilim episodes 19 and 20 of his Free the Rabbits podcast, talks about good ones. Patrick says that most Christians will tell you that there is no such thing as a good Nephilim."
"I agree with his opinion."
"You can see that even from the end of the road. You are going to meet some good Nephilim shortly. Sinel Sheriff Bo is an example of a good Nephilim, although technically they don't have giant or fallen angel blood in them, unless there were trace amounts in the original Dogman lab specimens. The Atlantisian scientists designed a Dogman that was to be a faithful, loyal, and compassionate man-beast, and a polyglot with a photographic memory that would be a cross between an Earth sheriff and an Earth Park Ranger. For reasons we do not understand, most of them possessed an innate desire to serve Creator. Good Nephilim. They may be rare, but it is possible." Joel Thomas, backing it up with scripture and historical examples, lays out a good case for the concept. "Anybody ever hear of Merkel or Thomas?" asked Bard. Most of those present gave him blank expressions.
"Who are they again, amigo?" asked Big J.
Bard gave the information once again, then said, "Wait until we get back, Big J. I'll get the information and write it down for you."
"Gracias, amigo," replied Big J.
Orlando added, "Yes, folks, Patrick sends me digital documents from many paranormal researchers. Many such items come from a Christian news show on Earth called Skywatch News. There's a guy who appears on their shows quite often named Steve Quayle. I have most of his books in my library. Patrick talked me into buying a set, including his two Giants books, Little People and Empire Under the Ice. Great books. Anybody here recognize that name?" Anselm paused after refilling Maria's tea. "Yes, Orlando Bard. Patrick offered a seminar to his clerics several months ago featuring entries from his books. He showed us video clips as well concerning giants and other fringe topics, presented from a researched Christian perspective."
"How about you, Big J?"
Big J choked on his coffee.
"Sorry, amigo. I think I have heard of him."
Bard noticed his reluctance but decided not to pry. He added, "I'll put the Steve Quayle info on that reading list I will make for you. Big J coughed and sputtered, then replied, "Gracias, amigo. That would be fine. Just add the info for that Bible teacher to the list."
Padre exclaimed, "I ken my grandfather, Enoch, had an adventure with those two angels. They escorted my grandfather around Carnival World to speak to several kings, nobles, or chiefs in scattered cities and villages. I ken those two all right. Grandfather Enoch's journey with those two Maleks is a Carnival World legend. I heard about their fighting ability, lads and lassies. My grandfather's stories seemed out the window."
Bard nodded in agreement, then asked, "Ranger Schmitty, did you see that Malek Jed did the Assassin's Creed Odyssey Spartans kick? Twice, almost over top of you." Maria Orsic Schmidt turned white, but she smiled. "I seen it, Bard. I seen it. No Daisy Link cussing. Nothing. Nada. Zip." She added, after sipping her tea, "And the other one, that Jazz Malek. I seen him do the Assassin's Creed Odyssey bull rush attack with his shield several times. Once again, no cussing, nothing, nada, zip." Bard asked, "Mystica, how is that soon-to-be-famous purple sippy cup?"
Basically, one, a pointer point your finger, "it is fantastic and it tastes great."
"I had a Pentecostal grandmother," exclaimed Guy. "That Jazz read your mail, elf girl. We have something in common, Mystica. That Pentecostal grandma got everyone calling me Cheap Rain in his pants. I will have to rethink the wild stories my grandmother told me after what happened today." Bard forcefully stopped himself from chiming in as well that his toddler nickname from his Hayward, Wisconsin, maternal First Nations grandmother had been Cheap Rain in his pants. Mystica looked confused. Bard interjected, "Read your mail is Pentecostal jargon for what he, the Malek Jazz, told you about several things that happened to you, events in your life or secret thoughts, life that only an angel communicating with the Holy Spirit or someone using a gift of knowledge could know."
About that, basically, one, Mystica fumbled for words. "I liked it and I didn't like it. It really caught me by surprise."
Anselm laughed. "Yes, I have heard that phrase before. Read your mail. Charismatic Christians say it a lot, too. It can be really awkward to have your secrets revealed, Señorita Mystica, in front of God and everyone, as the old saying goes."
Mystica nodded and smiled, then gave Anselm the Royal North Victory Salute. Padre said, "Talking about jargon, did you hear that Malek Jazz used the word Christianese? I did not ken that word, except the Earth writer lady made it up for her book, and it is not in any dictionary. Do you remember, Anselm, last month, Bishop Patrick did that soft evangelism in Cindy McGill's seminar? It is an Earth book, I grant you, but it made sense."
Bard added, "I didn't attend the seminar, but Patrick summed it up in my inn over ale one afternoon. I probably should define Christianese. I am not sure which dictionary you used, Padre. I have seen definitions of the word. It means that Christians often use buzzwords, idioms, vocabulary, and expressions when sharing their religious faith. Some of those words, especially here on Carnival World, make little sense. The other failure is that others hear the words and associate them with obnoxious people pestering them. Rather than influencing them to consider Creator, they react to what they feel are manipulation and control tactics."
Big J nodded. "That makes sense, amigo."
Anselm added, "I remember Bishop Patrick, amigos, quoting from her book, Words That Work. I think I can quote it, but
por favor, perdon me.
It may just be a close paraphrase. She said, approaching people with Christianese nowadays is like trying to speak English to a Frenchman. Not only will people not understand what you are trying to say, but they may get angry because your words sound rude in their ears."
"What was the other phrase about being friends that St. Patrick was talking about, Brother Anselm?"
asked Padre.
"Gracias," replied Anselm.
"Thank you for bringing up that point. The lady author, if I remember, didn't use that phrase. Bishop Patrick did. He said that using friendship evangelism and soft evangelism is a gentler approach than fire and brimstone, and superior to vacuum salesman conversion techniques. He added, "Give me a moment to interpret those terms and this conversation for Jorge and Gomez." Following a pause, Bard offered, "I don't know if Patrick used this word picture in the seminar. He did refer to it, the bird parable, during our lunch just before his meeting." Patrick said that as much as Yesu quoted scripture, he used terms and stories suited to his audience. Often he couched teachings in vocabulary common to farming or gardening, for example, appropriate to his time. Of course, he mentioned, with the context of sharing faith, keeping things simple, using John 3:16, or he suggested having the curious read the book of John. Patrick also mentioned Romans chapters 3 and 10, and John chapter 10. And, of course, repentance, faith, and allowing Yesu through his Holy Spirit to change your ways is all part of the show, whether you are talking Earth humans or carnival world elves, barbarians, or orcs. Bard paused as Anselm quoted important sections of each mentioned chapter in English and in Spanish. Padre smiled. "I ken ye, laddie. Ye are aboot to tell Bishop Patrick's modern motherbird parable." Bard grinned. "You saw it from the end of the road, Padre. I'm only going to provide the short version for now. If a mother bird is feeding her chicks and they are hungry, what do you see?" Padre replied, "The wee beastie's beaks are open." Bard nodded. "Yes, their mouths are open and the birdies are hungry. So?" Big J replied, "They eat the worm, amigo." Bard nodded in the affirmative. "Right you are, Big J. And," he added, "what happens when the baby birds aren't hungry?" "The wee beastie's beaks are closed, and the mother bird's worm hits their beak and breaks. The worm probably drops into the bottom of the nest and is wasted," replied Padre. The dwarf cleric chuckled and added, "I was surprised that Bishop Patrick used a different phrase than wasted." Big J said, "Reminds me of a gringo teacher I had when I was a boy in New Mexico, amigos. He was our audio-video teacher. I learned the skills. I aced his class. Then I volunteered in the audio-visual lab as a student assistant for my 3 remaining years in high school. However, this guy spit out Bible verses like he was a machine gun. Every day. I think in the 4 years I was working in the audio-visual lab before going on to college, maybe he got one young girl to go to his church. I prayed to the Jesus Christ, though, that I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to have a personal relationship. I did not want to be hard and religious. I wanted to grow more and more like Jesus Christ, though. What I did not want to do was spit out Bible verses at people and drive them away, amigos. I tried to explain to my teacher how I felt, but he just became angry. He said that the way he evangelized was the only proper method and that I did not understand because I was listening to diablos. He quoted Isaiah 55:11 to me. That is a great verse, amigos, but I think at that moment he was using it to justify his error. He was saying it, and the Lord was not. Did it return void for my teacher? Or did it not return void? I am unsure, amigos." Bard nodded. "We all need to be careful of using scripture for bad reasons, or demanding the letter of the law and ignoring the spirit of the law. But your testimony, Big J, perfectly illustrates what Patrick hoped to convey with his friendship evangelism, words that work seminar." Padre, Anselm, and Big J nodded in agreement. Many of the others remained quiet, not wanting to get involved in the conversation. Just then, a buzzing and scraping sound caught everyone's attention. Not too far south of the lime-green porta-potty, a section of the temple floor began to rise.